Klingon Ayin Test Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top. We said in the Mishnah, B'mukdoshin Eine Kein Chola, good morning, Ali. We said in the Mishnah, B'mukdoshin Eine Kein Chola, that unlike with the Korban Pesach, where we said that the Davka has to be meat of it available in order to sprinkle the blood of the Korban and be Yotze with it, because after all, the Korban Pesach is there mainly in order to be eaten. With other Kodshim, we said it's not like that. Even if you have only the Chalev left, you're still able to sprinkle the blood, because the blood accomplishes that, but now you're able to offer the Chalev on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Masnissin Mani, who is on Mishnah like? Rabbi Yeshua. It would be specifically according to Rabbi Yeshua. Because as we learned before that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can sprinkle the blood of a korban even if there's no chalev and no basil left at all. But D'tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol hazvachim shema Torah, all korbanos in the Torah, shenishtayim mehem kezayis basar, oy kezayis chalev, where you have left of the korban a kezayis of meat or a kezayis of chalev, Zodikas Adam, then that's good enough to sprinkle the blood, because now you have either you have a kazayis of meat, so therefore now the sprinkling of the blood accomplishes that now you can eat that meat, or you have a kazayis of chalev, and now that accomplishes that you can burn that on the mizbeach. Less than a kazayis is not significant, so that doesn't work. On the other hand, kachatzizayis basav, kachatzizayis chalev, but if you have left half kazayis of meat and half kazayis of chalev, ein zerikas adam, then you wouldn't be able to sprinkle the blood, because then those two don't combine together. This, that the Mizbeach is going to eat half of it, and that the person is going to eat half of it, that doesn't combine. Over Oila, on the other hand, he continues, with a Korban Oila, since the whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach anyway, then afilu kachatzis ayis basav, kachatzis ayis chalev, then even if you have a half kazayis of meat and a half kazayis of chalev left, and the rest of it all became tamei or was burnt or what have you, zordekas adam, you can still sprinkle the blood, because as it is, the whole Korban is being burnt on the Mizbeach anyway, so therefore, yeah, the meat and the chalev can combine together. And Braisa continues, Rabbi Yeshua continues, over Mincha, when it comes to a korban mincha, alpha pisha kula kayemis, even if the whole thing is intact, lo yizrek, you shouldn't sprinkle the blood. Unless it's mincha mayavita. What do you mean? Where does a mincha come in over here? With a mincha, there's no blood to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Amar papa minchas nisachim. So the papa says, right, the mincha that we're talking about over here, it's not a regular mincha where you take a koimitz of it and burn it on the zveach and the rest of it is eaten by the koin. And we're talking about minchas nisachim, the kind that accompanies a korban. So what the point that Rabbi Yeshua is saying is, sakhud adachamina, you would have thought, without him saying that, you would have thought to say, kiven to ka'asya mikoyach zevach, since that mincha is coming together with the korban, you're only bringing the minchas nesachim because you're bringing the korban. Kigufei de zevach dami. Maybe it should be considered like the actual korban itself, and therefore we should say. So you bring, let's say, an oilo or a shlomim, where those are accompanied by minchas nesachim. So now let's say all of the meat. All of the chalev of the korban, or both actually, all the meat and all the chalev, you have less than a kazayis left of meat or of chalev of the korban, but you have the entire minchas nesachim. So you would think, well, so good, we still have the minchas nesachim, that goes along with the korban, so shouldn't we be allowed to sprinkle the blood of the korban on the basis of that? Kamash Malon. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua wants us to know that it's not like that. You have to have part of the actual korban left, the meat or the chalev, as the case may be, but not the minchas nesachim is not good enough for that purpose. Okay, so the question is chalev menolon. So where do we know? So before we learned, when we discussed the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we brought how Rabbi Yeshua knows that there has to be basar in order to be able to do the zrichas adam, because the pasuk says v'asisa elasecha habasar v'adam, and the pasuk finishes off v'dams v'chachi yishofech v'habasar toichel. So Rabbi Yeshua said that teaches us that both by an oila and a shlomim, the meat and the blood are interdependent. You can only sprinkle the blood only if there's meat left, and you can only eat the meat if the blood was sprinkled. Fine. But where do we know then that the same thing would apply to chalev? We're saying here in the Braisa that Rabbi Yeshua is, and we said in the Mishnah actually, that Rabbi Yeshua would say that even if there's only chalev left, that you can also sprinkle the blood of the korban. Where do we know that from? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Umatu Ba Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Ben Chananya, or others say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chananya, which is the same Rabbi Yeshua as we have in the sugya over here. By the way, when we say that somebody says Mishum, it means that it's not a direct thing. Rabbi Yochanan was born long after Rabbi Shmuel passed away. And then long after Rabbi Yeshua passed away. What it means is he's saying it over something that he had heard from his Rebbeim, which ultimately goes back to Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Anyway, what it is the Omakra, the Pasuk says, V'hikter ha-chelev l'reyach nechoyach la'ashem. The Pasuk says that you should burn the chelev as a reyach nechoyach, as a sweet smell, as nachas ruach lefonai, a nachas ruach to the Eivishter, that shamarti v'nasir ratzoni, that you should burn the chelev for reyach nechoyach for Hashem. So from there we learn, and this is in connection with Zrikas Dom. Earlier in that Pasuk it says, V'zorach ha-koyen es ha-dom al mizbach Hashem, and then v'hikter ha-chelev. So we learn from that, chelev, af bishen basar. So it's good enough. If there's chelev, even if there's no meat left, you can still do v'zorach ha-koyen es ha-dom. Okay, what about ashkechan chelev? Fine, so that shows us that that works if there's chelev left. What about yeseres ha-kovod of shtei kloyes menolon? Where do we know the same thing would apply if all there is left is some of the emurim, which are not chelev? Now, not all, now we have like this. We often use chelev as a synonym for the things that are burnt on the mizbeach. That's what we did in the Mishnah, for example. Nitman Bosav, Achelev Kayim, and in the Braise over here. But technically, when you get down to it, not everything that's burnt on the Mizbeach is Chelev. There are certain parts of the Korban which are not Chelev themselves, but nevertheless, they're part of the Emurim and are burnt on the Mizbeach. They include the Yeseres HaKoved. Rashi defines it as the diaphragm of the animal, the sheet of muscle that separates the lungs from the liver and the stomach and the rest of those organs. Yesh Omerim, rather, Yeseres HaKoved is a little thing, a little finger-shaped thing that sticks out from the liver. Whatever it is, anyway, that's something you have to burn on the Mizbeach. And Shtei Kloyes, the two kidneys. So let's, now those are, again, those are not Chelev, but those are part of a Murim. So how do we know that, even if only those are left, that you're still able to sprinkle the blood? So Menolon, where do we know it from? So the Gemara first says, wait a second, hey Chamrinin, Dizakinin, where did you ever see in the first place that we could sprinkle the blood, but first you have to establish that you could before we ask for a source for it. So where do you see that? So the answer is Midikotani, because after all, the Braise had continued, over Mincha af bishakola kayemes lo yizrit, we said even if the whole Mincha is left, and we said it meant the Minchas Nesachim, then you're not allowed to sprinkle the blood. So the implication was mincha hu deloy, only if the mincha is the only thing left, then you can't sprinkle the blood. Avo yeseres ha-kovod ashtei kloyes shaper dami. Apparently then the implication is that if there's any part of the korban that's burnt on the mizbeach, even if it's only the yeseres ha-kovod and the two kidneys, shaper dami, then it would be fine and you can sprinkle the blood. So now that we establish that that's the case, from that implication of that braisa, then the question is, menolon, what pasuk do we get that from? Again, boser we get from Valsiso Lisecha Boss of Adam, Chelev we get from the Hikta Chelev Lureyach Nechoyach Lashem, but we know from other psukim that you have to burn the Yeseres of Shteak, the Yeseres are covered of Shteak Loy, it's fine. But where do we find that if those parts of the carbon are all that's left, that's good enough to be able to sprinkle the blood? So Rabbi Yochanan Didei Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan on his own said, before we had Rabbi Yochanan quoted something in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, or in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, now we have a limud that Rabbi Yochanan himself says, Omar Kro L'Reyach Nechoyach, because that pasuk that we just quoted doesn't just say he burns the chelev for Hashem, it says he burns the chelev for a Reyach Nechoyach for Hashem, meaning Kol She'atamalo L'Reyach Nechoyach. So anything which is offered on the Mizbeach, which is the Reyach Nechoyach, which accomplishes that, the Nachas Ruach L'Fon, that Hashem says, so to speak, I have nachas ruach from it that I commanded and what I said is done. So therefore, so that's the chelev. So not just the chelev, but also the yeseres are covered in the shtei akloyes, because those also accomplish the reyach nechoyach. Okay. So now the question then is, why in that case do we need two different things in the pasuk? Why does it need to mention chelev separately and l'reach nechoyach separately? So the Gemara says, v'itzrich l'michtav chelev, v'itzrich l'michtav reach nechoyach. So yeah, you should know, we need both them. Because, de'i kosev rachmona chelev, if it only said the word chelev, have amina, we would have thought, chelev eni, seres hakavod eshtei akloyes loy, indeed, like we thought in the have amina, maybe it's only good if there's chelev left, maybe it doesn't work if there's only a seres hakavod eshtei akloyes left, maybe you can't sprinkle the blood, therefore, kosev rachmana l'reach nechoyach. Therefore, the Torah writes the word l'reach nechoyach, teaching you that it's not like that, even if those are the only things left, and everything else is tomei or burnt or whatever, then it's still good enough. The E kosev rachmana l'reach nechayach. On the other hand, if the Torah had written only the word reach nechayach and not written the word chelev at all, have amina kol ha'olim l'reach nechayach, then you would have thought that it means anything which is offered and burnt on the mizbeach, which accomplishes a reach nechayach, ba'afilu mincha, which therefore would mean even the mincha. And we said before that not. We said if all that's left is the minchas nesachim, then you can't sprinkle the blood. Therefore, kosev rachmana chelev, therefore the pasuk had to also write the word chelev to tell us, in other words, that at least it has to be, it doesn't have to be chelev itself. It can be a seres or shtakoy, it's fine, but it does have to be something from the actual animal, from the actual korban itself, not the mincha which comes as a side thing together with it. So that's that. So all that's the shitta of Rabbi Yeshua. The Rambam paskins like him. So therefore, that's how it is with most korbanos. Even if all you have left is a kezias of the chelev or kezias of the yeseres or shtei akloyes, then it's good enough to sprinkle the blood, and the korban is kosher. Less than that, but not. With the Korban Pesach, we said you dafka have to have. With the Korban Pesach, we said you dafka have to have meat of the korban left over, because after all, the Korban Pesach is only l'shem achila. We discussed yesterday that Rav had said that b'diyeved, if you sprinkled the blood even when there wasn't meat available, then it would be kosher. However, we said that was only according to Rav Nosson. The Chachamim would disagree with that, and the Rambam doesn't paskin like that. He just paskins like the Chachamim. There has to be a kezias of meat left, and that achila is ma'akiv. Well, when we say achila is ma'akiv, not that if in the end you don't eat the korban pesach, you're not yotze, but it has to at least be at the time of the shechita and at the time of the zrika that you would have been able to eat it. So meaning it has to be, as we said yesterday, gavra chazi, the person has to be suitable to eat the korban, namely not tomei and not sit and whatever, and it has to be that the meat of the korban was able to be eaten, at least until the zrika, namely that it didn't all become tomei, unless of course the Pesach is being brought b'tumah. If it became tomei after that, or if the person became sick after that, then it doesn't matter, he's still yotze the korban Pesach. Now, continuing on this topic of bringing the Korban Pesach b'tumah, so we said a couple of Mishnayos ago that the Korban Pesach is the only korban which not only is brought b'tumah, but even eaten b'tumah. So now we're going to get more into the details of that. So the Mishnah says, Nitma kohol oy rubai, if the Jewish people became tamei, or most of them became tamei. Now we're talking about tumas mes. We're not talking. And we discussed before. We had a machlokes before whether the same thing would apply if most of them became tamei with tumas sheretz. We had a discussion about it in the previous parak. If they're tamei as zavim or other tumas that come out of their own body, then we don't say this. So we're talking about over here primarily tumas mes. So if most of the Jewish people, or all of them, are tamei, osha hayu akoyinim tmeim v'akol tahorim, or if the koyinim are tamei and the rest of the kohol are tahor, still yasa b'tumah, they can still bring the korban pesach b'tumah. So in other words, Rashi explains, even if, when we say that the koyinim are tamei, we mean even if you have the, even if, it's, so the koyinim are tamei, let's say, in other words, even the among the rest of the Jewish people, only individuals are tamei, nevertheless, you're still able to bring it b'tumah. Tosfos points out, l'chura, so what if the kohenim are tamei? Still, isn't it possible to bring it b'tara by making sure that they don't touch the meat of the korban? But nevertheless, Tosfos says that no, because once they're allowed to touch the emurim, and they have to necessarily in order to burn the emurim on the mizbeach, then already once they're allowed to make the emurim tamei, then they're already allowed to make the meat tamei as well. Actually, the Gilui Nashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, asks on that, I mean, what does one have to do with the other? The fact of the matter is, we're talking about it, we're focusing over here on, the focus is not so much on the tumah of the meat, the focus is on the tumah of the people. So what does that have to do with the fact whether the Kohenim are touching the meat or not? But that's what it means. In other words, ultimately, when we say Yasu Batruma, it means, in other words, that so if a Koyanim are Tome, it means everybody is able to come into the Azara to Shech the Koyan Pesach, even the Tmeim. So in other words, again, if most of the Jewish people are Tomei, then everybody can come in to bring the Korban Pesach, both the Tmeim and the Tehorim, and they do it all together. The Tehorim are not obligated, the Yisraelim who are Tahor don't bring the Korban separately, they bring it together with the Tmeim. And everybody eats it with Tumah. If the Koyanim are Tomei, what we're saying is, even though the Yisraelim, most of them are Tahor, nevertheless, the individual Yisraelim who are Tomei can also come in together with all the Tahorim and bring the Korban Pesach. Because once we're saying that normally there's an Issur Koris for Tomei to go into the Azara. But here, since it's being allowed for the Korban Pesach, then it's being allowed even if the Tmeim are a miut of the Yisraelim, as long as the Korban Pesach itself is being brought with Tumah because the Koyanim are Tomei.
What's about the fact that some of the Kohanim are tired and they're going to become tummy because of those other Kohanim? They should really keep them separate.
That's the point, in other words. So what you have is like this. If some of the Kohanim are Tomei, and if some of the Kohanim are Tomei and some are Tahor, then yeah, you don't have a heter to do it betumah. Because then what you do is, fine, the Kohanim who are Tomei can't serve. The Kohanim who are Tomei will do the job. But what we're talking about over here is that all the Kohanim are Tomei, or at least maybe it doesn't have to be all the Kohanim, at least all the Kohanim that are within a reasonable distance of Yerushalayim. And the other
Kohanim who are Tahor will do the job.
That's what I'm saying. If you have...
You said the Kohanim who are Tomei.
No. So let me rephrase. Let me rephrase. If you have some Kohanim are Tomei and some are Tahor, and the Kohanim who are Tahor are available, then yeah, then you're going to make the Kohen Pesach B'Tahara. Then the Kohanim who are Tomei can't serve. The individual Jews who are Tomei are going to have to wait for Pesach Sheni. The Kohen Pesach is brought B'Tahara like it would every other year. When we say over here Kohanim Tmeim, what we mean is all the Kohanim are Tomei. Or at least, we shouldn't say all, maybe there are Kohanim elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael who are Tahor, but at least all the Kohanim who are in the area of Yerushalayim are Tomei. So now we have no Kohanim Tahorim, so now we're allowed to make the Pesach B'Tumah. And what that means is, again, it means since the Kohanim are doing it B'Tumah, even though the rest of the people, most of them are Tahor, nevertheless the Tmeim are still allowed, nevertheless the Yisraelim who are Tomei are still allowed to enter the Azara and bring their Korban Pesach, because now the Korban Pesach is being brought B'Tumah by virtue of the fact that the Kohanim are Tomei. But again, in other words, the difference is, with the Yisraelim, we look at the majority. Once the majority are Tomei, then that's reason enough to bring it B'Tumah. When it comes to the Kohanim, we don't look at the majority. We look at, are there any Kohanim available who are Tahor? And if there are, then they're the ones who have to do it.
So one Kohen who's Tahor and all the rest of Tomei would be enough.
Well, okay, if there's only one Kohen who's Tahor, maybe not. I mean, the pastors were talking about if there's a number of Kohanim enough to be able to shecht everybody's Korbanos Pesach, enough to be able to do the Avoida on everybody's Korban Pesach. Yeah, if you only have one Kohen who's Tahor, I guess that's not going to work. But what we mean is, in other words, if there's a smaller than usual group of Kohanim, like this you have, for example, I think what it is is actually... Now, we know the Kohanim are divided into Mishmaris, so I think that Amram talks about it really depends on whether the current Mishmar is Tomei. If the Kohanim of the current Mishmar are Tomei, then even though you have ones from other Mishmaris that are Tahor, then that doesn't matter and we're still going to bring the Pesach B'Tumah, because the ones from the current Mishmar are the ones who serve in the Bais Mikdash this week. But yeah, I mean, even within that Mishmar itself, you could have some of them are Tomei, some of them are Tahor. But yeah, if you only have one or two of them are Tahor, then that's not going to work. But yeah.
Yeah, I think you gave us the example that either Kohen Gadol or one of the head big people passed away, and all the Kohanim were allowed, one is supposed to be Tamed to his burial.
We gave the example before on Daf Ayin, where the Nazi, right, for example, passed, right, away, and everybody has to be Metame for him. Right. So you could have scenarios like that where most of the people are Tome for whatever reason. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue. The Mishnah continues. Nitma miuta kohol. What happens if only a minority of the kohol is Tome? Then after Hoden Oisin Asarishin, then the people who are Tahor bring the Korban Pesach at its regular time, the first Pesach, Vatmeim, Oisinas Hasheni, and the Tmeim, bring Pesach Sheni, as we're going to learn the details of Pesach Sheni in the ninth parak of Or Masechta. By the way, how we figure out what the majority is, that Amram writes. And now we're actually going to have later on when we talk about Pesach Sheni and we talk about Shehoya B'Derech Rechoika, what the definition of Derech Rechoika is, whether it means they're a certain distance away from Yerushalayim or whether it means they're just outside the Azara. So that affects the question of how we count who are the majority for this purpose. Since the halacha is that Derech Rechoika means anybody who's a certain distance away from Yerushalayim, 15 mil, as we're going to talk about later on Daf Tzadik Aleph, Tzadik Beis, Tzadik Gimel, then what it is that Amram writes, before everybody comes into the Azara, we figure out how many there are. We figure out how many people are there here ready to bring the Korban Pesach. We don't go, by the way, that Amram says, you don't go according to the number of people who are actually eating the Korban Pesach. You could very well have, you know, you have one person comes with the Korban Pesach and 20 people are registered for it. You count all the people who are there ready to come into the Azara, and you look based on that, what are the numbers? Are the Tmeim the majority or are the Tahodim the majority? And you go based on that. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan, Harei Shehoyu Yisrael Tmeim, suppose that the Jewish people collectively are Tameh, or most of them, the Koyanim, the Klei Shores Tahorim, the Koyanim and the Klei Shores are still Tahor, Oy Shehoyu Yisrael Tahorim, the Koyanim, the Klei Shores Tmeim, or the other way around, the Koyanim and the Klei Shores are Tameh, but the Yisraelim are Tahor, Vafilu Yisrael, the Koyanim, Tahorim, the Klei Shores Tmeim, or even if all the people are Tahor, but the Klei Shores are Tameh, and again, we're talking about there's not going to be enough time to make new Klei Shores before they have to bring the Korban Pesach, or let's say it's Shabbos and they can't. So then, Yasu with Tumah, in all those cases, you bring the Korban Pesach with Tumah, meaning, in other words, that even the Tmeim are going to be allowed to enter the Azara and bring the Korban Pesach. She'ein Korban Sibur Choluk. And the reason is because we don't divide up a Korban Sibur. When you have a Korban Sibur that's brought with Tumah, since most of them, or most of the Koyanim, or whatever, are Tumah, then therefore we don't divide it up. We say even the Tahorim are making it with Tumah. So even the Tahorim then are going to be able to eat the meat, even though it was touched by Tmeim and became Tomei. Further on, later on in the Sugya, Rashi explains the idea is to Gnai, it would be a Gnai for the Tahorim to be separating themselves from everybody else and like making a public spectacle of, I need to be careful not to become Tomei from you, so we don't have that. Instead, we just say that everybody makes it the Tumah. Amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, though, when we talk about the Klei Shores being Tomei, when we talk about the Klei Shores, primarily, for example, we're talking about the knives that they use for Shechting, so Lo Yishonu Ela Shenitma Sakin B'Tmei Mes. That only applies when we're talking about that the knives became Tomei with Tumas Mes, which makes them an Avatuma. And we know that a knife touches a mess, then it becomes an Avatuma, Derachmona Oma B'Chalau Cherev. Because we learned this at the beginning of the Masechta, the Pasuk says, B'chalau cherev, that a person was killed by the sword. Now we know, of course, there's no difference how a person was killed. Either way, dead is dead and they're still matame. So it means we learn from that, cherev hareyu k'cholol. From there we learn that the sword has the din like the cholol, so therefore metal keli touches a mess, it has the din of the mess, it becomes an avi avos atoma. We talked about over there actually that, We talked about over there actually that there's a machlokas rishonim, whether this applies only to metal kalim, does it apply to kalim made out of other materials as well? Whatever the case, it definitely applies to metal kalim. So what happens is, if the knives are tameh, become a tameh legabra, so then when the person handles the knife, he's going to become tameh because he touches an avi avai satoma, he becomes an avatoma. So then what happens is, the me'ikra kemis avid, v'tumas haguf, the koreis kemis avid. So now what happens is, when the Korban Pesach is being shechted, when the avoda of it is being done in the first place, it's being done with the kind of tumas haguf that would usually result in koreis. In other words, exactly that. In other words, if a person is tomei from tumas mes with an avatuma, then he goes into the azora, then he's chayav koris. So we're saying because the knives themselves are an avi avos atuma, and therefore a person touches them becomes an avatuma. So anyway, as soon as we start shechting the Korban Pesach, or as soon as we touch the knives, then already we're becoming tomei. So therefore we have the heter, therefore to bring the Korban Pesach b'tuma. Actually, Tosfos points out, L'chura, what you could do is you could hold the knife using a wooden handle, let's say, and shecht that way, and that way you don't become Tomei, or you shecht using a very long knife so that you're standing outside the Azara, and you shecht. And Tosfos says, come on, practically speaking, you wouldn't have time to shecht all the Korbanos Pesach like that, so therefore the Torah is not going to require you to do that. You can just handle the knife, which is Tomei Mess, and shecht Metumah, and it's okay. Avol nitma sak in the tumas sheretz, but if instead, if the knives have become tome only by touching the sheretz, which then the knife becomes only a rish in the tumah, debosahu dematamule legabra lematamule. Now, if you handle, we know in general, a vlada tumah, a rishin or lower, is not matame a person, at least not daraisa, so a person handling this knife is not going to become tome. So all that's going to happen is the knife is going to make the meat tummy. So then, the bosser who metamule, it's only the meat that becomes tummy. Le gavra lo metamule, the person does not become tummy. Then the din would be tahorin ovid tmein lo ovid. Then only the tahorim are going to be able to bring Pesach Rishon, and the tmeim are going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Because mutav ye'ochol b'tumas bosser v'lav, better that in that case, the korban Pesach should be eaten where the meat is tomei, where there's only a lav, in general, with kodshim, where a person who's tomei eating kodshim is chayiv karis, except, of course, for these cases. But a person eats the meat of a korban that became tomei, he's not chayiv karis, he's only over on a lav, so better to do that, v'al ye'ochol bosser b'tumas ha'guf shor b'karis, rather than that we should allow the meat to be eaten with tumas ha'guf, that the tmeim should be able to eat from the korban Pesach shor b'karis, where after all there's karis involved. So therefore, so in that case, so if the knives are tomei with tumas sheretz, then yeah, what we do is we don't say that all the tahorim and the tmeim are allowed to eat the korban Pesach. Instead, we say only the tahorim bring the korban Pesach and eat it. Everybody else waits for Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, Alma
Kastavar. I'm sorry. Yeah. When do we make a difference? When is the curse and when is there love?
What we're saying is, if the person who eats the korban is tomei, then there's kares. If the person is tahor, but the meat is tomei, then there's a love. So now what we're saying is like this then. So again, if the knife became tomei tumas mes, so as soon as a person touches it, he himself becomes tomei mes. So now, necessarily, as soon as they handle the knives, then they're going to become tomei, and usually they would be also to enter the Beis Mikdash. So in that case, we're saying, we're overriding that, we're saying tumah dechuya betzibur, and we can bring the korban even though everybody is tomei. But if the knife was tomei, if the knife is only a rishon l'truma, so it's not being matame the people, it's only being matame the meat, then we say the korban Pesach still has to be brought matara. The meat is going to be tomei. That's fine. So it means the tahorim are the only ones who will enter the azara. The tmeim will not enter the azara because we're not going to allow them to be over on an isur kares. The tahorim eventually are going to be eating this meat, which is tomei. That's fine. That's only an isur lav that we can more easily allow.
But it won't make them tummy.
Of course not. No, eating tummy food. On a dirabanan, eating tummy food makes a person tummy. We learned in the first parak. But midaraisa, no, eating food is a food. The food which is tummy is only a vlada tummy. Can't make a person tummy. Yeah. Okay. So Alma Kastavar of Chista Tumor Dechuya Hibetzibur. So you see from this that Rav Chista holds about the machlokas that we learned the other day about whether Tumor is Dechuya or Hutra Betzibur. Obviously, Rav Chista is one of the ones who holds that Tumor is Dechuya Betzibur. So therefore, to the extent that we can avoid a stronger tumah, then we're going to do that. To the extent, in this case, we're able to make only the tahorim bring the korban Pesach and not allow the tmeim to bring it, and have that the maximum the tahorim are going to be over on is an isur lav of eating a korban which is tameh. So then we'd do that. If we said tumah hutra b'tzibur, then we wouldn't say that. We would say, you know what? Once there's tumah involved, then everybody might as well bring it because even the tmeim. That Rav Chista is not saying that shows that he holds Tumor Dechuya B'tzibur. V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchok, Tumor Dechuya B'tzibur. Rav Yitzchok says the same thing, that Tumor is only Dechuya B'tzibur, so it's only B'koshi, it's only with difficulty that we allow it, and therefore we try to minimize it where possible. The Rava Omar, now Rava disagrees, and he says, no, in this case, even though the knives are only Tomei, Tumas Sheretz, Afilu Tmeyim Nami Avdi. No, he says, even the Tmeyim in that case will be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Even though the only Tumah we're dealing with here is a Tumah Kala, that the knives are Tomei, Tumas Sheretz, nevertheless, once we're allowing one kind of Tumah, once we're allowing that the meat is Tomei and we're still going to be able to eat it, then Rava says we're allowing all the Tmeyim to come bring the Korban Pesach. My time. He says, why? Because of Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Ba'abosta asher yiga b'chol tomei lo ye'ochol. The Pasuk says about a korban, any meat of a korban that touches anything tomei, lo ye'ochol, cannot be eaten. But if it has to be burnt in fire, v'habosar, and as far as the meat of the korban, kol toher yechol bosar, anybody who's toher can eat the meat. So therefore, Rava says, we learn from that pasuk, kol heicha dole korin en veva habosa shiiga b'chotamei lo yachol, where we're not applying the first half of the pasuk, that if the meat touched anything tamei, it can't be eaten. Because in this case, he's saying, even you, Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok, are agreeing that we can eat the meat which became tamei. Again, it became tamei by the knife which was tamei touching it. Then once we have that, Rava says, Loi Karin, Veva Habasa Kol Toro Yecha Basa. Then we don't apply the second half of the pasuk either. We don't restrict the eating of the korban only to the tahorim. We allow the tameim to eat it as well, and if we're allowing them to eat it, then it means we have to be allowing them to bring it as well. On the other hand, kol hecha de korin and beva abasa shiiga b'chol tamei lo yachol. Only where we apply the first half of the pasuk and say that the meat is tamei, that where the meat touches tamei, you can't eat it. Only then korin beva abasa kol tar yecha abasa. Only then do we apply the second half that only the tahorim can eat, not the tamei. So if the meat, so if the korban pesach was brought b'tara and afterwards the meat became tamei, then sure, since it was being brought b'tara in the first place, then there's no heter for the tameim to bring it. But in that case, also we're not eating the meat of the korban pesach either because it became tamei. But when you have a case like this where you are allowed to eat the meat of the korban pesach b'tuma because the knives touch the sheretz, then Rava says, then the hekesh in the pasuk is going to tell us that yes, in that case, the tmeim are not also to eat it either. The tmeim are allowed to eat it, unlike usual, which means therefore that we bring the korban pesach the tumah. So not like we bring it. In other words, the tmeim are allowed to come in to the azara and bring the korban pesach, not like Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok are saying.
But then they're not allowed to eat it.
No, according to Rava, they will be allowed to eat it. In this scenario, when you have the knives became tamei with the sheretz, Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok are saying that the korban pesach is not brought with tuma, only the tahorim are allowed to go into the azara to bring it, and only the tahorim are allowed to eat it. The difference is that in this case, the tahorim are eating meat, which is tamei, but that's fine, that's only an isur lav. Rava is saying that, no, once we make that exception, that we're allowing the Tahodim to eat meat of a korban, which is Tomei, then we make the whole exception, and we say the whole Pesach has brought Betuma, and therefore the Tmeim can come in and bring the korban along with the Tahodim. And they can eat from it as well.
And the difference is how they learn. The difference is how they learn the Pasuk. If you say the whole Pasuk, you say half the Pasuk.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, so it's not really. I mean, Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok are not even referring to the Pasuk. They're just saying, given that Tumah Dechoya Hivitzibur, then we want to allow only the minimum amount of tumah possible. So in this case, we were able to allow that the only issur of tumah that we're being over on is tahorim, eating kodshim, not otamei, then we're going to do that. We're not going to allow anything else. That's part of the idea of tumah dechoya hibitzibur. Rava, on the other hand, is learning from the pasuk that once we're docha one part of the tumah, then we're docha all of it. Okay. Itmar. So now we have a discussion on the question like this. Hareisho Yisrael mechza tahorim mechza tmeim. Now we talked about in the Mishnah where most of the kahal is tamei versus most of the kahal is tahor. What if it's exactly half and half? So we have everybody standing there outside the azara. We count and we find there are 600,000 people. We count and we find exactly 300,000 are tamei and 300,000 are tahor. What do we do? Rav Omer Mechza al Mechza k'roiv. Rav says exactly half is considered like roiv. But Rav Kahana Omer Mechza al Mechza ain't k'roiv. Rav Kahana says that not. So what does that mean? Rav Omer Mechza al Mechza k'roiv. Therefore, we have to consider that. Therefore, we have to consider that roiv of the kohol is. So each half is in effect considered a roiv. So therefore, halalu oisim la'atzman, v'halalu oisim la'atzman. In that case, we will have to be, usually we said before, that we don't divide up a korban sibur. We don't have the tmeim do separately and the tahorim do separately. We have either the tahorim do it alone and the tmeim don't do it at all, or they wait for Pesach Sheni rather, or we said the tahorim and tmeim do it together. But here, where it's exactly half and half, the Tahorim can't bring the Tumah, they can't join together with the Tmeim, because they are like a Roiv, and a Roiv Tahorim cannot make it the Tumah. The Tmeim do not get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, because they're also a Roiv, and the Roiv doesn't bring Pesach Sheni. So therefore, what happens is, you have two different groups bringing the Korban Pesach, a group of Tmeim and a group of Tahorim, says Rav. Rav Kahana says that no, exactly half is not considered like a roiv. Therefore, tahorim oisin as harishon, or tmein oisin as hasheni. So what will happen is, therefore, the tahorim will bring the korban pesach now b'tahara, because either way, whether they were a roiv or whether they were a miut, they're able to bring the korban pesach. So fine, they don't bring it b'tumah, they bring it b'tahara. Because Rashi explains, in other words, like this, they could have even brought it b'tumah, because we can consider them a minority. Alachas kama v'kama, they could bring it b'tara, so therefore they bring it b'tara. Or Tmein, Oisin as a Sheni, the Tmeim are not considered a roiv, therefore we push them off to Pesach Sheni, as is usual, when you have less than a roiv.
Why are they not considered a half? A roiv?
Because they are considered a half, but Rav Kahana is saying, a half, you have to have a roiv, you have to have a majority. So you have to have 300,001. Right. Uh-huh. But not 300,000, right?
And according to the first one, the Amar, they would do separately. All the Tahirim first would be allowed inside, and then after all the Tahirim finished, then they would do all the Tmeim.
The Pashtus, yeah, or it could be the other way around. First the Tmeim, then the Tahirim. But whatever.
They shouldn't get mixed up.
Yeah, they wouldn't be allowed to mix up, right? Right. Ikadamri, another version of what Rav Kahana says, Ikadamri, Omer Rav Kahana, Mechzal Mechza, Ene Kerov, another version of what Rav Kahana says when he says that Mechzal Mechza is not considered like a majority, means according to that second law, Tahorim Oisin Osirishin, again, the Tahorim bring the first Pesach, like usual, Utmein, Einan Oisin, Loya Sirishin, Veloya Sasheni. According to the second version of Rav Kahana, the Tmeim are not going to be bringing either the first Pesach or the second Pesach. Barishtin like Abdi de la Habaruba, they can't bring the first Pesach because they're not the Roiv, and only a Roiv of Tmeim can bring the first Pesach. Vasheni like Abdi de la Habamiota, on the other hand, they can't bring the Pesach Sheni because they're not the Miot either. So therefore, they end up getting stuck, and they don't bring either one. So we have three different opinions of it. Well, we have two opinions, but we have three different possibilities. We have Rav saying that the Tahorim bring the Korban Pesach on their own, and then the Tmeim go and bring on their own, all Pesach Rishon. We have the first version of Rav Kahana, that the Tahorim bring Pesach Rishon, and the Tmeim bring Pesach Sheni. And then we have the second version of Rav Kahana, that the Tahorim bring Pesach Rishon, and the Tmeim don't do anything. They don't bring Pesach Rishon, and they don't bring Pesach Sheni.
So when Moshe Rabbeinu had the question, the Yidden said that we're Tamei.
Anachnu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam, wasn't Roiv. Wasn't Roiv. We learned previously, the Pasuk says, Ish Ki Yeh Tamei L'Nefesh, which means that only Ish Nidche Ve'in Tzibur Nidchin. The Tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's where we learn the concept that if Roiv are Tamei, then we bring the Pesach Tumah. So now the question comes down to, is half considered roiv or not? Rav is saying half is considered roiv. Rav Kahana is saying half is not considered roiv. And then there are two versions within what Rav Kahana is saying, what din that results in. As far as the Tmeim, are they making Pesach Sheni or are they not making Pesach Sheni?
So according to the second part of Rav Kahana, you make sure that one more kohen gets Tamei. This way all the Yidden could have Pesach Sheni.
We'll talk about that tomorrow, Beth Hashem. Okay. We'll talk about what we do in that case. Yeah.
Okay.
But right now, we're saying that, yeah. Tosfos discusses over here, it's not even really a matter of a suffix. If it was a matter of a suffix, whether half is considered like roiv or not, then like you said, let's be matame one of the tahorim, and then we can make it matuma. So Tosfos says, no, what it is if you have this half, then on the one hand, we can't say that it's ish, because it's more than ish, it's a half. On the other hand, we still say, on the other hand, the second version of Rav Kahana, again, is going to say, ain't korban sibur choluk, you can't divide up a korban sibur, so therefore we can't have the Tmeim and the Tahorim do it separately. So Rav Kahana holds that, in that case, according to the second opinion, according to the second version of Rav Kahana, then there's nothing they can do at all. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which of these opinions it fits with. We said in the Mishnah, Nitma Kahal Ay Ruboy, if the Kahal or most of the Kahal is Tomei, or the Kohenim are Tomei and the Kohol are Tahor. We said, Yas, Ya'asa B'Tumma. Then we said the Kohen Pesach is brought B'Tumma. And again, what we said when we say we bring it B'Tumma means even the Tahorim are bringing it B'Tumma. In other words, the Kohenim can, the Tahorim can mingle together with the Tmeim and all bring the Kohen, and all bring the Kohen together. And everybody's eating it, the Tmeim and the Tahorim. So now the Mishnah said Ruboy. Ruboy hu da'avdi b'tumah. So it seems to be only if most of it, only if most of them are tumah, do we make the Korban Pesach b'tumah. Ava pago pago loy avdi b'rishin. But implying that if it's exactly half, then the Tmeim are not doing the first Pesach at all. Kasha l'Rav. So that would be a question on Rav. The answer is Omaloch Rav. Rav will answer you what the Mishnah means is like this. Ruba, if most of the people are tumah, avdi kulo b'tumah. Then we say everybody brings it b'tumah. Even the Tahorim are bringing it b'tumah. Meaning, again, the Tahorim are able to become Tomei. They're able to mingle with the Tmeim. When it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, everybody's eating it indiscriminately. Avo pago pago, pago pago. But if you have exactly half and half, not that the Tmeim don't bring the Korban Pesach. All it is halolo oisim atzman, v'halolo oisim atzman. The Mishnah is not explicitly telling us what happens, but I'm telling you the din is, that in that case, the Tmeim and the Tahorim make it separately. The Tahorim are obligated to avoid becoming Tomei and to bring their Pesach B'Tara like they usually would. The Tmeim can bring it also. So the Mishnah is not addressing that case, but the Mishnah is not contradicting me either. The Mishnah is talking about what you do if it's a Rav, where then everybody can become Tomei. The Mishnah is not addressing the case if it's exactly half and half. In fact, the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. Yeah, it seems logical to understand the Mishnah that way, that the Mishnah is not, that the din by half and half would be different. Dikotoni is safer because the Mishnah continues. Nitma miyuta kohol, that if only a minority of the kohol is Tomei, Tahorin osin es rishon, or Tmeyin osin es sheni, then the Tahorin make Pesach rishon, and the Tmeyin make Pesach sheni, implying, miyuta da'avdi b'sheni, only if it's a minority that are Tomei, do they do Pesach sheni, avo pago pago loy. But implying that if it's half and half, then not. And therefore, what would that mean? So what are the Tahorim doing? What are the Tmeim, rather, doing in that case? The Avdi Barishan. So they still are making Pesach Rishan. Bahalolo Oysim Atzman, Bahalolo Oysim Atzman. And then you have a group of Tmeim and a group of Tahorim are doing it separately, but all on Pesach Rishan. So yeah, the second half of the Mishnah seems to support Rav's point, that only a miyut is ever pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Here, they're not the miyut, therefore the implication is they do Pesach Rishon. So, Ve'el Akashel Rav Kahana, well, now then that we understand the Mishnah that way, then doesn't become a question on Rav Kahana. So the answer is, Amalach Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana will say, here's how I'm going to understand the Mishnah. Nitmu miyut akol, if only the miyut is Tomei, then Tahorin osin es rishon, or Tmein osin es hasheni. Then, yeah, the Tahorin make first Pesach, the Tmein make second Pesach. Ha, paugo, paugo. But implying that if it was exactly half and half, then Tahorin osin es rishon, then the din is going to be different. The Tahorim are going to make the rishon, aval Tahor, aval Tmeim, and an osin lo es rishon v'lo es hasheni. But the Mishnah is implying that if the Tmeim are not a miut, but rather half, then they're not doing Pesach Sheni, because the Mishnah is saying if they're a miut, then they make Pesach Sheni, implying that if they're more than a miut, but not a majority, then they don't make Pesach Sheni, which is what I'm saying.
Second version,
right. So that's what the Gemara says. Hatenach l'lishna basra Rav Kahana, right. That works according to the second lashon of Rav Kahana. Ela lahach l'lishna d'omer Rav Kahana tohodim osin es rishon or tmeim osin es hasheni. But the first version of Rav Kahana, that the Tmeim do make Pesach Sheni, then Ma'ikal Meimer, how are you going to understand the Mishnah according to him? The answer is, Amalach Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana will answer you like this. Hu adin da'afil pago pago nami tahorin oisin es rishon or tmein oisin es hasheni. You know what? As a matter of fact, according to that first lashon of Rav Kahana, yeah, as a matter of fact, even if the tmeim are exactly half, they're still bringing Pesach Sheni. Aye, then why does the Mishnah say, v'haydik katoni miyot akohol? So why does the Mishnah say the minority? Just to be parallel. I did a ton of Reisha Ruboy, since the Reisha mentioned the majority, and we had to say the majority, because according to him, only if the majority are tummy, are we making the Pesach b'tumah? According to him, remember, if half of them, if exactly half are tummy, then the tumayim for sure are not making Pesach rishon. You have the different versions of him, whether they're making Pesach sheni or nothing at all. So in the reisha, it had to say rubai. So therefore, tananami, say for miutai. So therefore, in the sefer, it mentions miutai just to be parallel, but not to imply that it has to be a miut. In fact, Rav Kahana would say the same din actually would apply if it was exactly half as well. And then again, according to the second lashon of Rav Kahana, we wouldn't say that. According to the second lashon, we would say, and according to Rav, we would say that the second part of the Mishnah, when it mentions mi'otai, is meduyak, in fact. It's not just for parallelism. It's actually to be medayak, that only if they're a majority do they make Pesach Sheni, as opposed to, according to Rav, if they're exactly half, then they still make Pesach Rishon. And according to Rav Kahana's second version, if they're exactly half, then they're not making Pesach Sheni either. So it all works out. So we can say, in other words, So the Mishnah is not a kasha on Rav, because the first part that mentions what happens if the Tmeim are the Roiv, is Rav would say the Mishnah is not addressing at all the case where it's exactly half and half. In fact, since the Mishnah continues that if a miut is tamei, then they make Pesach Sheni, the implication is if exactly half are tamei, then they make Pesach Rishon. Rav Kahana's first version is going to say that what the Mishnah is implying is that Rav Kahana's first version is going to say that in the Sefer, we're going to say that miut is not meant davka, it's just for parallelism with the first part, but in fact the same din would happen if it was exactly half. And the second version of Rav Kahana would say, somewhat similarly to Rav, the second half is implying that only if it's a miut do we have this din that they make Pesach Sheni, but if it's exactly half, then they don't make Pesach Sheni either. So Rav had said in that case they make Pesach Rishon. The second version of Rav Kahana would say they don't do anything. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Kahana, Ketrei Lishni. We actually have Braisas like all three of these possibilities. We have a Braisa that agrees with Rav's opinion, we have a Braisa that agrees with the first version of Rav Kahana, and we have a Braisa that agrees with the second version of Rav Kahana. Tanya Kavasei, and so first we'll quote the Braisas, then afterwards we're going to say how Rav and Rav Kahana are going to understand the Braisas that support each other. Now, of course, we could just say, okay, look, it's a Machlokes Tanoim, and have done with it, but the Gemara is going to try to find a way to make all these Braisas work according to all three possibilities. But first, on the face of it, though, the Braisas support their respective opinions. Namely, the first Braisas says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Hoyu Yisrael Mechze Tahorin or Mechze Tmein, if the Jewish people are exactly half Tahor and half Tomei, Halolo Oysen Ma'atzman, V'Halolo Oysen Ma'atzman, then each group makes it separately, which is what Rav said, the Tahorin make the Korban Pesach B'Tahara, making sure that they don't become Tomei, making sure that the meat of their Korban doesn't become Tomei, and the Tmein make their own Korban Pesach, and they themselves are Tomei, and they enter the Azara, and the meat of their Korban Pesach becomes Tomei, but no big deal. Tanya Kalishna Kama de Rav Kahana, then we learn another Braisa like Rav Kahana's first Lashon. We say, HaReshah Yisrael Mechze Tahorin and Mechze Tmein, if the Jewish people are exactly half Tomei and half Tahor and half Tomei, Tahorin Oysen is Rishon, then the Tahorin bring the first Pesach alone, without the Tmein, or Tmein Oysen is Sheni, and the Tmein are pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's the first version of Rav Kahana. But Tanya, Kalishna Basra Rav Kahana. Then we have a Braisa like the second version of Rav Kahana. HaReisha HaYisrael Mechz Tahorin Mechz Tmeim. Tahorin Oysen is Arishin. Then the Tahorin bring the first Pesach. Or Tmein, Ein Oysen, Lois Arishin, Lois Hasheni. The Tmein aren't bringing either one, neither Pesach Rishin nor Pesach Sheni. So we have Braisas like all three of them. Okay. So now the question is, L'Rav Ula Lishna Basra de Rav Kahana. So now, how are Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana, how are they going to explain Hodatana to Horin Onsen Esirishin Utsmein Esasheni Hechi Metautila? How are they going to understand the Braisa that the second Braisa that says that the Tmeim make Pesach Sheni? According to Rav, they don't. According to Rav, the Tmeim in that case make Pesach Rishon. And according to the second version of Rav Kahana, they're not making Pesach that year at all, not Rishon and not Sheni. So how are they going to understand that Braisa? So the answer is, Kigun Cho Yisrael Mechze Tahorin and Mechze Tmeim. Let's say that, yeah, we have that the male Jews who are coming to bring the korban are half tamei and half tahor. The nashim mashlimas the tameim. Now let's say we also have, now we have to count the women as well, and then if we do that, then we find that the nashim, once we add them, then we have more tameim than tamei. Rashi speaks it out a little differently. Among the men, you have the tahorim of the majority. But once you start counting the women, then you find out that, that's the second case, rather. In the first case over here, Yisrael, or mechzat tahorim, mechzat tmeim, the noshim mashlim is tmeim. Yeah, we have that the males are mostly tahor. When we said Yisrael, mechzat tahor, and mechzat tmeim, we mean when we count the men and the women, then we find exactly half tamei and half tahor. If we counted only the men, we would have had the majority tahor. So now, how does that change things? Because Sava Noshim Barishin Rishus. Now, we're going to have a machloikas later on in the tzaddiks. We're going to have a machloikas. Are women chayev in the Korban Pesach the same way as men are? And if they are, then what is the deal? Are they chayev in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, just like the men? Or are they chayev only in Pesach Rishon and not in Pesach Sheni? Or are they potter from both of them, and it's only if they want to, then they can be yotzer with both of them? We're going to have later on. We're going to have later on in the next perek. We're going to have a machloikas. We're going to have a machloikas about that point. So now, our brisa, the second brisa that we quoted over here, holds noshim berishin rishus. That when it comes to the first Pesach and the second Pesach, halachas kama v'kama, it's only a rishus. Women don't have to bring it. They could bring it if they want to. Therefore, what happens is now, dal noshim mitmeim. So now what happens is once you subtract the women from the tmeim, v'havalu tmeim miyota. Now at this point, the tmeim, the men, end up being a miyot. Because we said the case was that among the men, you had mostly tahorim. Only once we added in the women did we have half and half. So now, once we remove the women, because they're only rishus, then we have the tmeim a miyota. Umiyuti, you dachol the Pesach Sheni, and the usual rule is a miyut gets pushed off the Pesach Sheni. So that would be the case. The Brai said that the Jewish people were mechzat tahorim, mechzat tmeim. That's counting the women. But if after subtracting the women we have the majority of the men are tahorim, then yes, then we have Pesach Rishon is brought by the tahorim and Pesach Sheni is brought by the tmeim. Everybody would agree to that.
How does that work out when we said before that they look outside the Azar and see how many people are tired and how many people, just see who's standing there, and which does not include the women. It's just
the men. Who says it doesn't include the women? You could have women that are coming to
the women's house, hold, but outside the Azara, you're going to have a group of Tahir.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying when you have people are coming to Shech the Korban Pesach, or to not everybody is coming to Shech. Some people are probably only coming to observe. They want to watch the Korban Pesach being Shechted. But Pashtos, you could have women among them.
Okay.
Actually, Tosfos points out that according to Rav Kahana, it really doesn't matter whether the women are obligated to or not. The fact is, since Pesach Sheni, the women are rishus, then it comes out that when it comes to Pesach Sheni, the Tmeim are going to be a mute. And therefore we can't allow, according to the second version of Rav Kahana, they can't bring the Pesach Sheni. But when we said over here, Noshim Berishin Rishus, is really only because we only really need that because of Rav's opinion. Because according to Rav's opinion, if we had said that women are obligated to bring the first Pesach, then we would have to count them equally with the men, and then you have exactly half and half. And Rav tells us that when you have exactly half and half, then the Tmeim bring Pesach Rishon. Okay, so this is how we can understand that Brisa. What about the Rav Lulishna Kama the Rav Kahana? Now let's look at the third Brisa, which we said the third Brisa says that the Tmeim don't bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. So the Rav Lulishna Kama the Rav Kahana, according to Rav and according to the first version of Rav Kahana, Rav who says that the Tmeim make Pesach Rishon, Rav Kahana, the first version, who says that Tmeim make Pesach Sheni, Hod Tanya Tahorin Oisin Esarishon, or Tmeim Ein Oisin Lois Erishon Lois Hasheni, when the third Brisa says the Tehorim make Pesach Rishon, the Tmeim don't make either one, Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni, Heichi Metautila, how would Rav and the first version of Rav Kahana understand that third Braisa? So that's this. So each one is going to have their own way of explaining it. Rav Metautila, Rav is going to understand it like this. Again, Kogon Sheni Yisrael, Mechza Tmeim or Mechza Tehorim. Let's say that now you have the men are exactly half Tomei and half Tahor. V'noshim Odfos Ala Tehorim. Now you have the Noshim, once you count them, then you have more Tehorim. So this is the opposite of the previous case. In the previous case, you had the men alone were mostly Tehorim. Once you added the women, there were more women who were Tomei than were Tahor. So once you added the women, then you ended up with exactly half and half. Now it's the other way around. Now you have that, now you have the men, the men are exactly half and half. The women, you have more that are Tahor than are Tomei. So now, once you count the women, then you have a majority Tahor. Now, the Tana of this third Braisa is going to hold, according to one of the opinions that we're going to have later on Daf Tzadik Aleph, Noshim Berishin Choyva, that women are obligated to bring the first Pesach, over Sheni Rishus, only Pesach Sheni is it a Rishus. Therefore, Berishin Lay Avdi. So now, this Braisa is going to say as follows. So now, the Tmeim cannot do Pesach Rishin, the Havali Miut, because now the Tmeim are only a Miut of the total, because after all, when you consider the men and the women together, all the ones who are obligated to bring the Korban Pesach, then it comes out that the men and majority are Tehorim, only the minority are Tmeim. Umi Uta Lei Avdi Berishin, and we know a minority of Tmeim never brings Pesach Rishin. Over Sheni Lei Avdi. Meanwhile, why does this Braisa say they can't bring the Pesach Sheni either? Because Dal Noshim Minayu. Because now, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, you have to subtract the women, because the women, according to this Braisa, are not Chayev in Pesach Sheni. Bahavalu Pauga, Pauga. Now you have among the men, it's exactly half and half. Well, Pauga Lei Avdi B'Sheni. Rav is saying a half never bring Pesach Sheni. That is why this Braisa would say that the Tmeim in this case don't bring Pesach Sheni at all. Because they're stuck in the middle. When it came to Pesach Rishon, and we consider everybody who's chayv in Pesach Rishon, then they were a minority. And we consider Pesach Sheni, and when we consider who's chayv in Pesach Sheni and who's not, then they come out to be exactly half. So therefore they're stuck from both directions. So that's how Rav will understand the Braisa. Yeah.
That covers the Bas Lishna.
That covers according to Rav how Rav would understand the third Braisa. Right, we said the third Braisa, we said, works out most straightforwardly according to Rav Kahana's third Lashon, according to Rav Kahana's second Lashon, according to the Lishna Basra, right. But we're saying Rav still has to have a way of understanding that Braisa. So we're saying Rav will understand that the Braisa is talking about the scenario where only once we add the women do we have a majority that are Tahor. Yeah. Ulo Rav Kahana, and according to the first version of Rav Kahana, Dharma Pauganami Avdi Vesheni, he says that even a half are able to bring Pesach Sheni, the first version, Hochi Mataritzla, so he will for the Braisa as follows, Gagon Shah Yisrael, Mechza Tahorin or Mechza Tmeim, what if the men were half Tomei, half Tahor, half Tomei? But you only get exactly half by including the women. So in other words, again, the case is like we had before, where most of the men were Tomei. Only once we add the women do we have exactly half and half. Because Sava Noshim Berishin Choyvo V'Sheni Rishus. Again, Rav Kahana, like Rav, is going to say that this third Braisa holds that women are obligated to bring the first Pesach and not obligated to bring the second one. Therefore, he says Berishin Lo Avdi. Therefore, the Tmeim cannot bring Pesach Rishon, the Havalu Paugo Pauga, because once we include the women, then we have exactly half and half, Pauga Berishon Le'Avdi, and Rav Kahana had said that a half never brings the first Pesach, because according to him, again, in Korban Sibur Choluk, we don't divide up the Korban Sibur, so not like Rav, who said the Tehorim and the Tmeim bring separately. The first version of Rav Kahana had said that the half, that are Tomei, got pushed off to Pesach Sheni, so therefore that's going to happen. But Sheni Nami Le'Avdi, again, they can't bring Pesach Sheni because Dal Noshim Minayim Minat Tahorin. Because now, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, since women are not obligated to bring Pesach Sheni, then therefore Dal Noshim Minayim. Now you have to subtract the women from them Minat Tahorin. You subtract the women from the Tahorin. Havalu Tmeim Ruba. Now it comes out the Tmeim were the Roiv. And the Tmeim, when they're arrived, don't bring Pesach Sheni, because if they were arrived, they should have brought Pesach Rishon. So again, Rav Kahana is saying they end up stuck over here. So therefore, Rav Kahana would say, if that's the scenario of the Braisa, then that's why the Braisa is saying that they don't bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni, the Tmeim. What about now a third possibility? All Rav Kahana had the Tanya had Eishah Yisrael Mechta Tehorim or Mechta Tmeim Halalo Oisim La'atzman Halalo Oisim La'atzman. What about the second Braisa, where we said that if there's exactly half and half, then we said each group does it separately. Heichi Mitaritzla, that was the first Braisa, the Braisa that we brought as a proof for Rav. So we forenfored the second and the third Braisas. We're talking about that there's women involved over here, and therefore that changes the calculus. But the first Braisa, which we brought saying that it goes according to Rav, clearly says that if you have a half and half, the Tmeim do it separately, the Tehorim do it separately. So now, how is Rav Kahana going to understand that? According to him, you never have that the Tmeim and the Tehorim bring separately. You either have the Tmeim bring Pesach Sheni, or the Tmeim don't bring at all, according to his different Lashonis. So how is he going to understand Heichi Mitaritzla? How does he understand that Braisa? The answer is Amalach Rav Kahana Tanoi. So Rav Kahana is going to tell you, you know what, you have no choice but to say that there's a Machloikas Tanoim. You have two different opinions, one that says that a half is considered like a roiv, one that says that not. The less brave Rav Kahana is going to have to say that what I'm saying is not according to all Tanoim. Rav can make his opinion work according to all Tanoim. He can make all three braises work according to his opinion. Rav Kahana, fine, we can have the second braise that can work according to Rav Kahana's second opinion, the third braise that can work according to Rav Kahana's first opinion. But there's no way to make the first Braisa work according. There's no way to make the first Braisa work according to Rav Kahana's opinion, because it clearly says that the Tehorim and the Tmeim each bring it separately. So therefore, we have no choice. We have no choice but to say, according to Rav Kahana, that there is a Machlokes Tanoim. Marsha points out over here, by the way, you have another opinion that mentions in this sugya, in the next parak, when we talk about this, whether women are chayiv in the Korban Pesach, we have an opinion over there that says that women are chayiv in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Why aren't we mentioning that? Marsha asks, why aren't we mentioning that as a possibility over here? That if we say that women are chayav both in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, so then it comes out that the Tmeim are miut in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and then therefore then we're saying that they're pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So Marsha leaves the question open. Kaunei Re'eim at the bottom of Marsha says very simple. If the women are chayiv in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, then it's just a matter of you're not talking about whether the women add to it or whether we subtract the women or whatever. Then the women are chayiv on an equal level with the men, both Pesach Rishon, both Pesach Sheni. So then it's just a matter of half and half. Then you don't have to talk about whether it's men alone or men plus women or whatever. Only if we talk about that women are potter from both them, or that women are chayiv in the first in Pesach Rishon, but not in Pesach Sheni, then we can start talking about the various permutations that the Gemara talks about over here. Whether we count them towards that half or towards that majority, and when we don't. So that's that. So we have the opinion of Rav. We have the two opinions of Rav Kahana. The Rambam paskins like Rav. First of all, Rav Kahana was a Talmud of Rav, and generally we paskin in the earlier generations of Amoraim, we usually paskin like a Rebbe instead of his Talmud. Second of all, we're saying that Rav can make all three braises work according to him, whereas Rav Kahana necessarily has to say that it's a machlokas. So for those reasons, the Rambam paskins like Rav. So in that case, what's going to happen over here is, again, if it's exactly half and half, then the Tmeim are going to make their Pesach separately, and the Tehorim are going to make those separately. Provided that we don't have this whole business of women, because if we have women that count towards the half or towards the majority, then we have different dinim. We're going to learn later on in the next parak about the various opinions whether women are chayiv in Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni or whether or not. And based on that, that's going to make a difference over here. Okay.
Yeah, Shikoyach.
Yeah.